We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And now let me welcome onto the Mountain West Insider Podcast, Darius Brown, who we thought was going to be the hero of the night last night in the Mountain West. Darius, I don't know if anybody can say that they've hit a shot at the buzzer to force overtime and then hit a shot with 30 seconds left from three to win the game in the same game. How you feeling this morning, man? You got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I'm ready to get back home, man. Ready to get back to Logan.
You guys on the road at Fresno State, obviously, last night. Take me through that play at the end of regulation. Take me through the shot. Take me through what you saw. And tell me if you called bank on that or not.
So I thought they were going to foul. You know, they made the free throw. I know we didn't have any timeouts left, so obviously I was just going to blitz the ball up the floor no matter what. But I thought that they were going to foul me. Then I heard their big call out the screen, that great set. So I thought that, okay, maybe the big is going to come up and foul me. So that's why I kind of stopped deeper than I needed to, because I thought he was going to foul me. So I was trying to catch him fouling me in the shooting motion, but he just contested. So that's why. And then I ended up pump faking because I thought he was going to jump a little bit more into me. Then just got a clean look off. So
did you call bank?
Yeah. It
was good. Yeah, there you go. And then in the game winner, just kind of walk me through what you saw there at the end of overtime.
We were trying to feed Great. Great was fighting for position inside, and credit to Fresno State because they were fighting with Great all night, trying to front and helping off heavy from the corners and you know, trying to make it hard on us, getting it into Great. And even the guy that was guarding me on the ball seemed like he was kind of backing up to kind of make the entry pass a little bit harder to get it to Great. So, and then I just backed up, feel like I had enough space. The shot clock was at like 8 seconds, felt like I was the best option to take the shot at then. I didn't really want a three. We wanted to go inside, but I feel like I had a good look and it was open enough, so I just took it.
What does it say about the Mountain West that you're on the road, and let's just call it what it is, Fresno State's one of the teams at the bottom of the league, you're one of the teams at the top of the league, go on the road and you're in this dogfight where you got to hit a couple threes in the final seconds of regulation, final seconds of overtime to be able to win that game. It's just, this is the Mountain West, right? This is how difficult it is.
It's like every night, every game, there's just something going on. And it's fun to watch. You know, it's scary when you're in it, but when you're watching the other teams around the league, it's so crazy that any team could get anybody on any given night. And home court advantage is huge. It's huge. And we talked about it all week, and it was more like we knew that we had to be ready for this game and that it's going to be hard on the road and it's going to be different than the other environments in the Mountain West, but it, like a different that's hard to play in. And it just – we just fell apart a little bit towards the middle end of second half where gave up the lead. But credit to the team for staying together, no one barking at each other, just fighting, staying together, and making sure we came out with the win. So.
Are you surprised at all at the success you guys have had this season? I think most people around the country are saying you got a new coach coming in. You got a team that's not returning any scoring at all from last season's roster. I know things can flip quick in the portal era, but I don't know if anybody expected you guys to be up here contending for and in first place in the Mountain West, a league as good as that conference is. Did you see this coming in the offseason?
No, not in the offseason, no. It was a long summer, just back to basics, just everybody getting on. You know, me and Great were the only ones that, you know, are familiar with Coach Sprinkle and how he likes things done. So it was a long summer of just learning, relearning, and a lot of coaching from me and Great also, just trying to help the guys and just being coach's advocate and stuff like that. But I think towards the middle of the year, when, you know, we started clicking and stuff, and, you know, that's when I say, well, it's not really a surprise anymore to us. We know we belong. And I think maybe, you know, beginning of the year, it was like, you know, we're winning games and we're like, that's good. But we know how this Mountain West is. And then as the season went on, we're just like, no, we know we belong. And now it's, if something doesn't go our way, we know it's our fault. And it's not that we're not good enough. It's that we actually messed up. So I think it's been a fun ride, and it's that I am really proud of this team, and that no one could have expected this. So
when you followed Coach Sprinkle from Montana State to Utah State, what is it about the way that he can kind of build a roster, the way that he could build an offense, the way that he kind of developed? Like, why has he been able to have this success with so many new faces in a new place?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Something about Coach Sprinkle, he knows how to get his guys to play. He knows how to get his guys to play, and he creates an urgency about every team that he coaches, an urgency to win, like that. Whether you're at the top and you're the hunted, or you're the hunting, like he just knows how to get guys to play and how to inspire guys and create that urgency. And urgency is really important on a team to know that you're playing for something and what you're playing for, and that is bigger than you and not just what you got going on. It's the whole team. It's the alumni. It's the whole school. It's everything. And Sprinkle does a great job of reminding us of that, and just he knows how to get guys to play.
Take me through the process of deciding to follow him to Utah State. Was that kind of a given once you knew he was going there? Was it something where you kind of looked around elsewhere? Just how did that decision-making process go for you?
There was a lot of things. It was, you know, considered staying at Montana State just because I loved it up there. It was great. You know, mm-hmm. Bozeman, Montana was a great spot. And considered going other places just to see, just to, you know, look around. And then, but also I played for three head coaches. So mm-hmm. I don't think I wanted to go with a fourth. I looked around and, thought about some things, but at the end of the day, for my last year, just wanted to be where, even though it was going to be a new team, have some familiarity somewhere, whether it was with the coaches or players, and got to get great too. So great and the whole staff, you know, so it was just more of having that comfort for my last year of I don't have to deal with a whole new system, and I'm dealing with a coaching staff that knows me, and I don't have to go to a new place where coaches, you know, they look at film and stuff, but sometimes, you know, film isn't what you think or isn't what you see in person. So just nice that I didn't have to deal with that. And that was one of the biggest things.
Who made the decision first? You were great.
I made the decision first, officially.
So he just follows you? Is that what it was?
I mean, me and Gray were kind of on the same timeline a little bit. I think I did it officially first. But, you know, me and Gray were together the whole, you know, whole time.
Hey, Darius, take credit for it, man. That's your first assist of the season.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, it was me. Gray followed me.
There you go, man. All right, let me end it with this, man. You guys are right there in the mix for the Mountain West regular season title, right? It's basically in your control whether or not you win it. What has to happen these last 2 weeks? What has to go right? What do you have to improve on? How do you guys go out and actually put yourself in the spot where you are cutting down the nets at some point this season?
At this time in February and March, it's not necessarily about the team. Like, you know, teams know each other. It's about players, and I think that urgency. Like, you can't take a night off. You know, your team just has to be at a different level of focus, and that slip, you can't have slip ups. Like, it's too late in the year for my bads. Something the coach always says, like, it's too late for my bads. There's no more of that. It's my fault. You can't do that. It's too late. And I think that these next 2 weeks is just more taking everything one game at a time, not thinking ahead. You can't think ahead. You start thinking about the next game, and the next game after that is when you slip up on the game that you have next. So I think taking it one game at a time is the biggest thing. And we have 3 games left of conference, I believe. So just one game at a time. And that's probably the best way to think about it.
Yeah, you sound like a sixth-year senior that is helping – recruit some of your former teammates to you sound like an assistant coach when you say that, man. Little coach speak there. All right, I lied. I got one more question for you. Was this the first buzzer beater that you've hit in your life?
College, I believe it might. I think college. I've hit a couple like daggers or a couple game winners with like 20 seconds and stuff like that, but buzzer beater, or at least to send it in overtime. Yeah, I think it's the first one in college. In high school, I had a few, but.
So I feel like your reaction was a little bit like, yeah, I've done this 10 times in my life. Like, if that was me, I'd be sprinting around the court, I mean, trying to take my jersey off.
I mean, I was just like, I was just so happy to get it to overtime. When we got to overtime, I just, you know, felt a little bit like, and it just, like, when we got it to overtime, there was just a whole energy around the team. Like, okay, like, we're back to 0-0. Go win 5 minutes. Simple as that. And it was, you know, that's all it was. You know, when stuff like that happens, you don't really think about what you're doing. You just do it, and then after you look, and you're like, oh, man, I could have did something else or something.
Well, I mean, it was relief, right? It was like, oh, man, we didn't lose this one yet. All right, we can still go with it. We can still bail ourselves out.
Was a sense of relief, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Life in the Mountain West right there. You hit a buzzer beater, and it's nothing but a sense of relief. Darius Brown, appreciate you being here, man. Hell of a performance last night. We'll be following you. Best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Now, let me welcome onto the Mountain West Insider Podcast, none other than Jared Lucas, who had the shot of the Mountain West season, maybe the shot of the college basketball season to date, a half court banked in 3 at the buzzer as Nevada went into Moby Arena and knocked off Colorado State last night, 77-74. Jared, let me start you off with this, man. Did you call bank?
No, I did. I didn't.
Look, take me through what happened in those last minutes. Take me through what happened on that possession. Take me through what you saw. Take me through the moment the shot went in. Just everything about that. It was so much fun to watch here on the East Coast at about 1:30 in the morning.
Well, you know, it was kind of crazy because a couple of days ago, I remembered telling my girlfriend that, you know, man, my last buzzer beat, this was 2 days ago. We were out eating lunch. I told my girlfriend, I go, man, I haven't had a buzzer beater here at Nevada. I have one at Oregon State my freshman year. I haven't had one. And what do you know, 2 days later, you know, hit the shot that I hit. But, you know, I was a little surprised. Colorado State, you know, obviously when somebody catches the ball and obviously, you know, there's half-court shot, 2 seconds left, you got 2 dribbles. They kind of backed up. Nobody really stopped me. I was able to take two dribbles and honestly, tough look, obviously a runner. But it's the same shot I'd hit in high school. I had posted something on Twitter the other day. Very, very similar play. Two dribbles, same shot, and hit it.
So apparently all you do is hit buzzer beaters. Is that what I'm hearing?
I've missed a few too. So
my favorite part about it is that you are like 91% free throw shooter, 90% free throw shooter. And in the last
18, now.
Yeah, in the last 18 seconds, you missed was it 3 out of 4 that you missed the line? So you tried to get that thing back first.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard for me to believe. Like, usually at the end of the game, you know, you're missing short. And I had missed long. I went 1 for 2, and then the next time I missed long again. So I told myself when I got up there, I said, all right, if I'm going to miss, I'm missing short. I'm going to short arm it. And I got the same miss. And I looked up and I smiled. I go, something's got to be going on. There's no way. I put way too much work in. After every workout, I make 25 made free throws in a row. I've done that every day this whole year. Or not every day, every time I work out. I didn't know what happened. So obviously, you know, maybe God knew something I did. So it was awesome.
You know what I think it was? And tell me if you think this theory is right or wrong. I think that you knew that you wanted that buzzer beater and you just set it up so you would have a chance to hit that buzzer beater. Am I onto something here?
I mean, you know what? That would be great, a plan, but you know, obviously it worked out, but yeah, it was definitely a little nerve wracking. You know, especially for my family, my dad is a big time basketball guy too, high school basketball coach. And I know he was screaming at the TV when I missed those. So.
Free throws are three, Jared. Free throws are free. You got to hit them.
Exactly.
What does it mean for you guys to be able to go on the road to a place like Colorado State against a team as good as Colorado State is and win when you don't have Keenan there, when he's kind of banged up? I think it's an ankle, right? I think it was had a walking boot on. What's it mean to be able to get that win without him?
It goes to show our depth. And I think a lot of times, you know, Hunter McIntosh has been a little bit overlooked, especially on our team. We're old. We got a bunch of veterans. And, you know, Hunt is kind of, you know, didn't really get the role. And obviously, a bigger role than last night. He got a tremendous opportunity. He made the most of it. But Hunter's a guy that was a freshman of the year in his conference at Elon. So he's done a tremendous job throughout his whole career. He had an opportunity and he stepped up, but it goes all across the board. Trey Coleman, Daniel Foster, KJ Himes, Nick Davidson, all did their part as well.
Now, what does it say about the Mountain West? And I've talked about this before, but the top of this league is just so good and so competitive. And it feels like on any given night, in any given building, anybody in that top seven, and frankly, the entire league can beat anybody else. What is it like playing in this league this season?
It's extremely hard. And it's for somebody that's I've played in the Pac-12 before, and you know, I've played against you know pretty much every West Coast team. The Mountain West, day in and day out, especially when you play on the road, it isn't easy. Especially going to Moby Arena, a team that was hungry for a win. I think they lost or dropped 3 of their last 4. We knew that they wanted to win, and to be able to go in there and win the way that we did was awesome. And then win on the road too was really good. But when you look at the whole conference, I mean, top to bottom. It's amazing. And then you look at a guy like Jaden Ledee. I always go back to him. Jaden Ledee is, you know, obviously a tremendous player, probably All-American in my eyes. You know, you have guys like that, Tyson Dagenhart, plenty of players throughout the conference, Isaiah Stevens. So there's great players, great teams, great coaches.
It feels like when we talk about the Mountain West, when we talk about the best players in the league, especially in the backcourt spot, Isaiah Stevens and Donovan Dent are the first two that always come to mind. Do you hear that at all? Does that bother you at all? Is that something where when you play those two guys, you're out to try to prove something there?
You know, I always feel like I've been overlooked my whole career. You know, I've kind of had to go the back way, I guess I'd say. You know, but I think oftentimes get overlooked. You know, I had a really good career at Oregon State, and here in Nevada, you know, I'm doing some great things as well. Obviously, my teammates do a good job of setting me up as well as our coaching staff, but. I do feel like I'm overlooked. And I feel like, you know, I just got to keep on doing my thing and everything will work itself out. But yeah, I do.
Earlier this season, there was a point where, you guys were, I think we're 15-1, and then you lost 3 in a row and you lost 4 out of 5. And I do believe that there was, at least from the outside, I was like, well, maybe, you know, maybe Nevada wasn't as good as we thought they were. Maybe there were some question marks. Then you've won 7 out of 8 since then. You're now a game out of first place in the Mountain West regular season title race. You get one of those teams, Boise State, here next week coming up. So you got a chance to be able to go out and win this league after, I think, what were you, 3-4 at one point. So what changed? How did you guys get past that stretch where you lost 3 in a row and 4 out of 5?
I was after New Mexico in the pit. We lost by 34. That's not eye opening.
I wasn't gonna bring it up. I wasn't gonna go into specifics. Seems like well, you were doing this a little bit.
Yeah, you know, losing by 34 and being the team that we are and the players and coaching staff, you know, that was unacceptable. It was a wake up call for us. You know, and from here on out, I know us as a team and me as a leader, our word's been connected as a team, especially when we go play on the road, being connected. And ever since that game, things have changed. Whether that's our effort, I feel like we've done a lot better, but it was a wake-up call, honestly. It was a really ugly game for us. Kind of disappointing, too, sitting on the bench, seeing them celebrating and going crazy in the pit.
When you say it's a wake-up call, is it like refocusing in practice? Is it refocusing in games? Was there a sense that I don't want to say like your head's got a little bit too big, but did you like it's almost like reading the press clipping, seeing the tweet, seeing the record? Was it just kind of recentering yourself? Like how do you go about doing that?
Well, I just think, you know, I mentioned before, we're a veteran team. There's no way a veteran team should lose by 30, especially with the talent that we have and the coaches that we have. There's no way we should lose by 30. So we knew that wasn't us. And I don't think it was necessarily just, hey, in practice, we're going to focus a little more or we're going to do this, do that. I just think it was a concentrated effort to go out there and do our thing. There wasn't one particular thing I could say changed it.
Yeah, I think it also is worth pointing out that the stretch that you lost, those 4 out of 5, Boise State at San Diego State at Wyoming at New Mexico. Not like that's the easiest run of games to be able to play in. What is your you can't say your own building. Where's your favorite place to play in the Mountain West? Because there's a lot. The thing that I don't think people on the outside really realize is how many great venues there are in that conference. Great, loud, diverse. Sometimes you're going up against the show of Viejas. Sometimes you got to go up to the Spectrum at Utah State. It just it feels like there's 8 or 9 buildings in that conference where you walk in and it is just an absolute culture.
Yeah, I think the toughest place to play at is Utah State. It's extremely hard to play there. My favorite place to play at, I would say the pit, but I had a bad game. So I'd say the pit. That's my favorite place to play at. But, yeah, I didn't have a good game there this year.
All right. What is the what's the next step for you guys? You got 3 games left here in the regular season. Then you got the Mountain West tournament. Then if everything goes right, you got the NCAA tournament as well. What is the key? What has to happen for you guys to be able to at some point cut down a net somewhere, whether that's a regular season title, Mountain West tournament title, maybe a Final Four, maybe a national title, who knows? What is the next step in your development as a team?
Honestly, I think we're doing it right now, being connected. We got a wake-up call a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I have somebody who's won some games in March before. I know what it takes, and I think my leadership, I got to continue to lead this team, especially with Keenan being out. I'm sure he'll be back soon. He's getting treatment every day. But while he is out, I know that I got to take my leadership up another level. But I know that right now it's being connected. I know we have the talent. We got the veteran. We got the leadership. We got the coaching staff. And I know we got the opportunity to be able to get it done. So I think we could do it. Just be connected.
Well, I'm not a basketball coach, but the one piece of advice I would give you is make your free throws and don't rely on half court shots to be able to win games. How about that? That's true. Listen, Jared, I appreciate you being here, man. I'm glad you're able to jump on. Hell of a shot last night. I hope you relish that moment. That's one that you should remember for a long, long time. Appreciate you being here.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.